Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello, welcome back. Crystal and Sean here, pastors at Life Community Church.
What you got to drink over there today?
Just water and water. Lemon. It's just
so
this is what
sadness.
It is. But the thing is, I don't really remember to drink it.
Oh, yeah, true. I've got my usual. So, you know, Sister's coffee. Yeah. You got a nice new sweatshirt over there.
I do, yeah. It's from Disneyland.
Yeah, well, you just got back from there, right?
I did. It was great.
That's exciting.
It's a little wet, but it was fun.
Yeah. Are there any bad days at Disneyland?
I don't think so, personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've been there when it's really crowded.
Yeah.
It's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good.
You can just relax.
You can choose joy.
Yeah. Anyways, that's choosing joy is not necessarily our topic of discussion today.
Not today.
But I'm glad you're listening. Follow-up podcast is designed to help us maybe respond to some of the questions you might have about the sermons from the week, previous week. So what do we got on the agenda today?
Yeah, we have several questions.
Okay.
Again, just always appreciate when people send in their questions so that we can chat and respond, and hopefully it's helpful.
Yeah. So week four of our values series, this is how we do this, and helping us kind of understand the behaviors that help keep us together on mission.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we talked about wholeheartedness this week.
Big word.
And a big word, sometimes squishy to define, but yeah, we took a crack at it on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, and we got some questions.
All right. First question out of the gate is, do I need to be wholehearted in the place God is using me, or wholehearted in God and what he is doing?
Yeah. I love the question. Yeah. I don't know that I would slice it and dice it kind of that way. Right. I think I would say like wholehearted, a bit like generosity. It's a posture that we take, right? So it's like, I am wholehearted towards God, right? And what God wants to do in and through me, wherever I am. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes maybe we beat ourselves up a little bit about like, you know, I want to be in the bullseye of the center of the center of God's will, right? And it's like, but the problem is sometimes with that thinking, like we never actually take action.
Yeah.
And I think God is much more gracious and available to us than that. And so it's like, wherever you're at, like, is my posture towards God, you can use me right here.
Yeah.
And so I guess I would say yes to that question of like, yes and yes.
Yeah.
Like, God wants to use you right where you're at, whether it's in your school or your workplace or your home. Does God have all of me in that space? And can I be wholehearted towards what he wants me to, how he wants me to be, what he wants me to do, in those spaces? You know, we talked about on Sunday that in Jesus, you know, we get all of God, and wholeheartedness, God gets all of us, right? So it's God, you have all of me at my workplace. You have all of me at my school. You have all of me, you know, wherever I go. And so that I am fully available to you. And I think when we have that posture, we start to see God at work in us and through us. And maybe don't have to like stress so much about like, oh my gosh, what does God want me to do? You know, I think God makes it clear when it's time.
Yeah.
And then I just respond to that in the spaces where I already am.
Yeah. Yeah. The second part of the question says, you know, or wholehearted in God and what he is doing. And if we're, you know, we're living in the Spirit, God is doing a work in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're being wholehearted, we are being wholehearted in what God is doing, because he's at work in us too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we can, you know, try to get overwhelmed thinking if I'm, you know, in doing the right thing, or if I'm, you know, making the right choice here. If you're walking in the Spirit and you have your feet pointed towards Jesus, trusting that God's leading you, so wherever you're at, be wholehearted and remember that God is at work in you in those spaces that you are in.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes for me personally, like especially growing up, we tended to kind of create this hierarchy of the work of God.
Yeah.
Like, so if you were a pastor, right? Then you are the one who's really doing God's work in the world, right? And if you are, you know, working at Costco, well, you know, that's fine, right? Right. Like, and so we have to eliminate those categories.
Yep.
And yeah, God may call some people to vocational ministry at the church or whatever, right? But that doesn't mean that God is using that person more than the person who works at Costco. Yep. And so I think we have to pay attention to what God wants to do in us and where God leads us and how God wants us to be involved in the world. But it isn't a hierarchy of work, right? Like God wants to use you at Costco just as much as God wants to use me here at Life Community Church, right? And so it's that participation piece of like wherever you're at, I'm saying yes to what God wants to do.
Yeah. Good question. The next question, does wholehearted devotion leave any room for doubt? Mm. You know, we just had a series on doubt not too long ago. Second part of the question is, if God doesn't use half-hearted people, are growing believers with doubts disqualified?
Okay.
So does wholehearted devotion leave any room for doubt?
Yeah.
And then if God doesn't use half-hearted people, are growing believers with doubts disqualified? So maybe just teasing out doubt versus wholeheartedness. And
yeah, I would go back to your message on doubt on that one in terms of the doorstop idea. Yeah. And so I guess my question in response to that question would be, what's your doorstop doing? Yeah. Is it keeping the door open for God to work, or is it keeping the door closed? Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing with doubt, right? This is why when James talks about like the one who doubt is a wave, like a wave tossed in the sea, they're, you know, they can't accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. And that's, James is talking about the kind of person whose doubt keeps them from obedience.
Yeah.
Right, who keeps them from responding when they know like God has told them to do something or God has asked them to step into something and they don't. That's the issue that I think we're talking about when it comes to like wholehearted versus half-hearted. Mm-hmm. It's not whether or not I have questions. I'm not whether or not I like, wonder what God's going to do, but am I willing to step into it even with those doubts?
Yeah.
Right? Am I willing to keep the door stopped with the door propped open?
Right.
And so I think that, so doubt is not the issue so much.
Yeah.
It's what does doubt prevent me from doing?
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of the follow up on that one is I think doubt is more about, wanting to know the outcomes of things, right? And wanting to have like a sense of certainty and nobody did. Nobody had a sense of certainty in the scripture, right? Like people just responded, in faith and then trusted God to work and move. And so I don't think wholeheartedness is at the exclusion of doubt.
Yeah.
We carry it with us. And that's, you know, we talked about in that series also like faithing our doubt, right? That's what it means to be wholehearted. Like I take my doubt and I faith it, right? Like, and so that's a wholehearted person faiths their doubt.
Right.
But I think that's how I respond to that one.
Yeah, that's how I was, that second part, that's how I was thinking about it. Like you can be wholehearted in your pursuit of God. I have doubts, but I want to trust you. I want to believe and be wholehearted in that and keeping the door open and continuing to, you know, explore your scriptures and spend time in prayer and engage in the practices. You can do that wholeheartedly while also holding on to your doubts and wrestling through them and faithing through them. And so again, if the door is open, then I feel like that's saying, God, work in here.
Yeah.
Like I want you to work in my life. And it's when we close the door off to that, that feels like the half-hearted, like, nah, I'm not really in this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's the key piece of it is it really comes down to the obedience question for me. And I think that's what you see in the scripture. And I might be jumping ahead a little bit in our questions.
Great. This leads right into the next question.
In terms of like, are there examples in scripture of people who are half-hearted? Yep. Right? Cause I said a bit of a spicy statement on Sunday in terms of like, God doesn't use half-hearted people.
People are like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, hold up. God used a donkey. Mm-hmm. Right. So here's the deal. When we talk about God using a donkey, it's Balaam. In scriptures, Balaam was a tool.
Yeah.
You're not a tool.
Yeah.
Right.
Please don't be a tool.
Right. Yes. Don't be a tool. And so where do we see half-hearted people in the scripture? And we see them in spaces where they, I think their doubt then dictates their obedience, mm-hmm. right? So like one example is King Saul, mm-hmm. right? So Saul starts out great, yeah. right? God chooses him. God's using him. Saul gets into a circumstance where he begins to question what God is doing.
Yeah.
Right. And that leads him to make decisions, to make half-hearted decisions, yep. right? He has a divided heart. And essentially, as we read the story, that disqualifies him from yep. what God wants to do. Does that mean like you're a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad person and you're going to hell? I think I'd go that far.
Yeah.
But you're not as available for God to use. Like God uses wholehearted people. And so Saul's one example of that. You can jump over to the New Testament and the crazy story of Ananias and Sapphira. Yep. Right. In Acts chapter, what was it? 4, 5, 6, somewhere around there. They bring an offering, yeah. but it's half-hearted. Right. And so they've got this whole other thing in the back and I can't explain the story, but they fall dead. Yeah. Right. And the thing, and it's this idea that God was using like all these people in Acts, right. Who were wholehearted and crazy stuff was happening. And then you get this picture of two people come in that are half-hearted,
yep.
That really aren't fully in. And God can't use them.
Yeah.
And so I think you can find different spaces in the scripture where people had opportunity. Like another one, we use the scripture in Matthew 22 on Sunday, where the teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, like, yeah. what's the greatest commandment?" And you know, Jesus tells him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, you know, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he says, "All the law and the prophets, you know, hang on these two commandments." And then it says, the next scripture there says, then the guy wanted to justify himself. Yep. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Yeah. He revealed that he's half-hearted, yep. right? Like,
where's the asterisk?
So these excuses, we yep. talked about big butts on Sundays. Yep. The big but is that I don't really want to obey.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, I believe yeah. like, but I don't really want to obey. That's the example of the half-hearted yep. person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, but it's about, you know, God getting all of us. And again, this idea of surrender and the big word sanctification and holiness and all of it. It's if you're withholding anything, like, you know, Sapphira and Ananias, like they wanted some, but mm-hmm. they didn't want to give God all. Mm-hmm. They were not quite willing to go there. Then yeah, you couldn't, there's only so much that God can do with mm-hmm. that, but that's on us. That's yeah. not on God. That's right. Not saying, you know, well, God's not going to use, it's a decision we make yeah. to say, I'm going to surrender and be wholehearted in this so that God can use all of me for his purposes. And that's our purpose.
Right.
You know? And so it's, God's going to do, God can use anything to yeah. bring himself glory, right? Like the world is broken, but all things that are good and perfect are from him. And so we see good mm-hmm. things happening mm-hmm. regardless, you know, it could be someone that doesn't follow Jesus. That's a good and generous person. It's, mm-hmm. that's the inbreaking of the kingdom of God that we see. That's the people made in the image of God doing God's yeah. good work. And, but if we're not wholehearted in it, there's just only so much that God can do with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And you could look to, again, like different examples in the scripture for wholehearted people. And you know, we love the story of King David, right? Who scripture says was a man after God's own mm-hmm. heart. And what that means is David was wholehearted.
Yeah.
And we know David was a highly flawed human being,
yeah.
right? Yep. Like messed up all over the place, yet like continued just to turn his heart back to God, yeah. like wanted what God wanted. And so, you know, we said that it doesn't mean perfection.
Yeah.
In the sermons, it doesn't mean we get everything right. It just means we are trusting God no matter yeah. what. Like I'm continuing to move forward. And we see that in David's story. And again, like really all over the Old Testament in terms of different characters of people and how the Israelites continue to get in trouble because yeah. of their half-heartedness,
yep.
right? They believed in God, yet they also had their idols, right? Like,
right.
And so, or you know, you can look at Abraham, right? And Abraham, you know, is held up as like, the first person who trusted God by faith, solely by faith, and said, God, like God said, go to this strange mm-hmm. land. And he went. Like, and that was, you know, Paul talks about like the righteousness revealed, right, yeah. in him. And so this willingness to say yes to God, even when we don't know what the outcomes yeah. will look like. And this is like, God, I just want all of you. Yeah. I just want to participate in what you want to do in me and through me. And that becomes like this, the kind of the North Star you know, the cornerstone of why I exist, right? Yeah. We exist to glorify God with our lives. And so, like, I think there's examples throughout the scriptures, again, from front to back, in terms of people who were wholehearted and again, weren't perfect, but kept like that focus in their lives. And then people who were half-hearted, or we might say had a divided heart, is another way to say it. And they just continued to stumble over themselves, and God doesn't give up on them.
Right.
It's not like God says, oh, I'm done with you. Right. But God can't fully use you. Right. So it's the Isaiah, the prophet, right? When he says, here I am, Lord, send me. Mm-hmm. Like, you got like all of me. You just want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the examples all over scripture of what that looks like.
Yeah. Teasing out just the difference between wholeheartedness and perfectionism. You know, again, when you're wholehearted, you're going to mess up. But then a wholehearted person chooses confession and chooses repentance and chooses to, you know, right the wrong and like, oh, I messed up here. Like, I failed to, you know, trust you with this, or I didn't like, you were calling me to something and I wasn't obedient in that moment because I was afraid. And so I confess that, Lord, I don't want to, you know, they continue to get themselves back on track and say, okay, just like David, right? Like, so many mistakes, so many things he messed up on, so many things. And yet he's God, you search me, know me. I don't want, this isn't what I want my heart to be like. It's yours. And so I continually surrender myself to you. And yeah, you're not going to get it right all the time, but you can be wholehearted even in your mistakes and going, okay, I'm going to own this. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to, you know, not respond right all the time to people. I'm going to have struggles, and yet I'm going to be wholehearted and continuing to ask God to do the work in my heart that I know he can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the posture, right, that you're talking about that we take, and the practices that help us to lean into that. And I think I would say like, we can't, the challenge is you can't hold knowing disobedience.
Yeah.
Right. And like trust at the same time. Right. Like that's the part where when we have a divided heart, where you can't move forward with that. And so I think I would say if you're holding like knowing disobedience, like, you know, God has asked you to do something or respond in some way, or, you know, and you just can't do it, you just refuse to do it, then that's where we have then removed kind of ourselves from how God wants to work and how God wants to use us. Now, hopefully the Spirit like still like tenderizes your heart and moves you towards obedience. But I think that's the piece, like if I had to kind of go back and say, hey, like if there's anything where you're like, oh, God, I know God has asked me to do this, and I'm afraid, or it's like, it's okay to be afraid, but step into it anyway. Yeah. Like, step into wholeheartedness anyway. It's okay to have doubt. Yeah. They're like, God, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I'm afraid if I step into this, you might not come through. And he may not in the way that we like anticipate. But that's the whole idea behind this. We are saying, like, the work of God in the world is worth giving our lives to. Like, it's worth it on the other side of it. Even if the outcome doesn't look like you hoped it might or thought it might, but your God honors obedience.
Yep.
And that's kind of this idea of wholeheartedness, is like, I can't not be obedient to God. Like, this, my whole being wants to obey and wants to, not because I'm a slave, right, but because I partner with God in this work, and I want to serve him, and I want my life to glorify him. And so I think for me, that's kind of the heart of it. When it gets down to that piece of, you know, we want to try to kind of split hairs a little bit. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, remember when we talked about, the question, how far is too far?
Yeah.
Right? It's the same kind of question, right? Well, like what is a half-hearted person? What is a wholehearted person, right? And it's this idea that, what is it that you want?
Yep.
And do I want what God wants so much that I just say yes.
Yep.
And I just learn, the more I say yes, the more quickly I say yes.
Yep.
Right. And so we start with a desire for wholeheartedness, and then the Spirit helps us to actually be a wholehearted person. Right. But that happens by taking action, right? By practicing and stepping into that and being willing to obey. And so,
We can't just sit around and read about it and say, this is great. And in my heart feel, I'm wholehearted. But then when it comes, you know, when rubber meets the road and there's an action that we need to take in obedience and we sit back on it for fear, whatever reason, then I mean, there's, I can just think of so many examples in my own personal life of, you know, those moments where it was like, almost like threshold kind of moment of, am I going to step into this or not? And choosing to do so. And it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. It doesn't always, we might not get to see that, you know, happy ending or whatever, but God did so much more in and through me than if I had just waited on the sideline. And so, I just, it's that step of obedience and faith and that's wholeheartedness. Like you just keep moving forward in the direction the Spirit is calling you.
Yeah. And we said like Sunday that, that your wholeheartedness will have a generational impact. Right. And that's the thing. Like it's, you may not see it immediately. Right. But God uses it to transform generations. Yeah. And so I think that's part of it too, is remembering like, even as a church, like God uses, God would use a wholehearted church to impact a generation. And I think as, you know, as pastors, that's one of our deep desires is to see, faith continued on to the next generation. And for that to happen, they need to see wholehearted faith in the generation before them. Right. And even if they don't latch onto it then, right in that moment, they'll have seen it and it'll, as they mature, it'll become more inspiring to them and gives them an example to follow after. And so I think that's one of the ways we live into that value as a church is like, hey, like, this isn't just for me. Like my wholeheartedness is not just for me. It's also for the next generation. So,
Last question.
Are
there examples from the Bible of people who didn't even believe in God that he used anyway? And if so, how is that different than saying that he won't use half-hearted people? So I kind of spoke a little bit earlier about, you know, God is going to use and do and, you know, his purposes will be carried out. And we have generous people that, you know, maybe don't believe in Jesus, but they're generous and kind. And, you know, we can see that in scripture that there's good people out there. And we can say, well, man, that it looks like God's working in that. And so maybe just teasing that out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great question. So there are people in scripture, like I immediately think of, again, go to the Old Testament, and King Nebuchadnezzar, right? So God uses a foreign king to bring judgment on, you know, the people of Israel. And but here's what I would, I think, give that a bit of a caveat is that then God brings judgment on King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Like there, Nebuchadnezzar was a tool for God that God used. Nebuchadnezzar was not, knowingly participating necessarily in the work of God in the world. Like it wasn't his heart to participate with God, right? So can God use, of course, like God uses whatever God wants to use. But we have to remember like who we are in Christ, right? Like we are a part of the family of God. Like we are working alongside partnering with God in the work. That is very different from God using, you know, an outside agency or thing. It's like, you know, like I use a hammer to build things, right? But that hammer is just a tool. And so I think you can find like those examples in the scripture where God uses things to accomplish God's purposes. But they're primarily just tools,
right?
You know, and so there's a difference between, being heirs with Christ Jesus, right? As the scripture tells us, when we give our lives to Christ, you become an heir, right? You are God's son, God's daughter, a part of the family of God and working with God in the world. That's very different than, you know, just this outside agency that God, you know, uses and orchestrates to accomplish his good purposes. What was the second part of that question? I forget.
So if that's true, that God does use people, then how is that different than saying he won't use half-hearted people?
Yeah.
I think you kind of, you know, unpacked a little bit. You have people that are in Christ that are following after him that have identity in Christ. And then you have people that, that may or may be on the fence about what God is calling them to do. And then you have people that are just have no knowledge of what, what's going on.
It's like, do you want to be a part of what God's doing in building his kingdom? Right. That's really the bottom line. I think for me, in terms of what it means to be like half-hearted and wholehearted. Like if you're wholehearted, you're like, no, like I choose to partner with God, and give myself to God to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom, to be a knowing participant, right? Like I am an heir, right? I am a son and daughter who participates with my father in the work in the world. I don't know if that answered that question totally, but I can God use half-hearted person? Sure. Like God could use, but it's a different reality.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a different sort of, reason for your existence.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key of like, if I'm knowingly saying like, God, I hope you still use me, but I'm going to hold on to this whole way of life over here that really isn't trusting in you.
Yeah.
Like you're cutting yourself off,
yeah.
right? Like you're saying like, and you know, is God gracious and loving and, you know, still drawing you? I think so. But like, this is about an invitation to participate in the fullness of what God wants to do. And you can track the story of scripture where the people that God uses to advance the kingdom of God are the wholehearted people.
Yeah.
The half-hearted people are involved in different ways,
right?
But who God uses and the people that are pointed to, like in the, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, right? This people of faith are the wholehearted people who say, God, you have it all. And they didn't get it right all the time, but their posture was one of wholeheartedness.
Yeah. You know, I think for us, it's, we could talk about this for a while. We get excited about it because we've experienced it. And when we're talking about what it looks like to live wholeheartedly, and we've talked about, you know, in the past couple of weeks, generosity and different spaces in our lives that we need to surrender. Mm-hmm. And we've experienced what God does with it on the other side of it. And it's like, man, yeah, it's scary to step into some of these things in obedience and be wholehearted and surrender your finances and surrender your time and your family. But yet again, having experienced what happens when we do that, it's like, we just like, guys, jump in. Like there's so much that God has for us if you're just willing to do those things. And so we're not just sitting here saying, this is what you should do because this is what we should do. Like, we've experienced it and we're different and our families are different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want that for our church as families and individuals and as a church body, we desperately want to see that kind of transformation happen in people's lives.
Yep. Yeah. And to see God's kingdom come in your schools and in your workplaces, you know, and in your families. And to see yourself, you know, there's a whole theology about the priesthood of all believers, right? That you are God's representative in the space where you are.
Yeah.
And he needs wholehearted priests, so to speak, in all those spaces, right? So that his kingdom can break in those, you know, not just, you know, at our address on a Sunday morning, right? But in the places where you do your work. And your holy work each and every day. So that's what wholeheartedness looks like. So I think that's all the questions, right?
Yeah, great questions.
Cool. Well, hey, I just wanted to maybe close kind of our time here just with the scripture we read on Sunday. We've been reading this as a church board from Psalm 86, 11. So wherever you're listening to this, if you're driving or if you're sitting at home or whatever, maybe you just continue to use this as a prayer. Open yourself up to God making you wholehearted, the Spirit making you, helping form your heart in such a way that you are a wholehearted person. And it's a prayer of David, right? So the man after God's own heart who didn't always get it right, but knew how to get himself refocused on who God is. So Psalm 86, this is verses 11 through 13. It says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead."
Amen.
See you next week.
See you next week. We're going to wrap up our series, This Is How We Do This, with optimism.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.